The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, 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 this is your host, DJ Riri, and this is Don't Run Away, a podcast where we talk about how to conquer all your fears.
Hey there, and welcome back, Fearless Explorers, to Don't Run the Other Way, where we unravel the mysteries of the mind, specifically focusing on fear. I'm your host, DJ Riri, and today we've got a special guest with us, Sydney Gunnarsson, a psychology major at Dominican with a knack for understanding fear. How's it going, Sid?
I'm good. How are you, Riri? Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat about fear today.
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I'm ready to jump right in. So we know that fear is one of those things that we all deal with, but can you give us a bit of a rundown on what it actually is from a psychological perspective and what you've learned throughout your courses?
Yeah, for sure. So fear is essentially our brain's way of warning us about potential danger. It's like our built-in alarm system that triggers a whole bunch of physical and emotional responses when we sense a threat.
Right, like that heart-pounding feeling when you think you're being watched in a horror movie. So there are different types of fear, or are there different types of fear, or is it all just one big scary mess?
Okay, yeah, so horror movies definitely know how to play with our fears. But yeah, fear comes in a bunch of different aspects. There's primal fear, which is hardwired into us and helps us avoid things like heights and loud noises. And then there's learned fear, which comes from our experiences, like being afraid of dogs because you got chased by one as a kid.
Oh, got it. That's interesting to see the two different types of fear. So it's a mix of instinct and life experiences shaping what we're afraid of. But how does that fear impact our day-to-day lives and mental well-being?
Well, fear can be pretty disruptive if we let it take over, like anxiety. But in the short term, it can trigger that fight-or-flight response, getting our hearts racing and like our bodies ready to react. But if fear sticks around for too long, it can lead to, what I said earlier, anxiety disorders or phobias, PTSD, things like that, which can seriously affect our mental health.
That's a really interesting thought. So then how would you say we should tackle fear head on and keep it from taking over to get to that point?
There's a bunch of different strategies that we can use. There are things like therapy techniques like cognitive behavioral therapy that helps us challenge those irrational thoughts that fuel our fears. And then there's exposure therapy, which is another powerful tool, which is where we gradually face our fears in a safe environment until they lose their power over us.
Those techniques sound super interesting and pretty effective. Can you dive a bit deeper into how the cognitive behavioral therapy you mentioned actually works when you practice it?
Yeah, so CBT is all about identifying and challenging those negative thought patterns that contribute to our fears and anxieties. Like, let's say someone has a fear of public speaking. Through CBT, they might learn to like recognize and challenge thoughts like, I'll embarrass myself, or everybody will think like I'm incompetent or weird, by questioning the validity of these thoughts and replacing them with like a more realistic and more positive ones. They can gradually reduce your fear of those things and build confidence in your speaking abilities.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like rewiring our brains to think more positively and realistically. I think I briefly touched on this in a few previous episodes. What about exposure therapy? How does that help people overcome their fears?
So exposure therapy is all about facing your fears head on in a safe and controlled environment. Like, let's take the example of someone with a fear of like flying. So instead of avoiding airplanes altogether, they might work with a therapist that would gradually expose the person, the individual, to flight-related stimuli, like starting with something like less anxiety-inducing, like starting with looking at pictures of planes and then gradually working up to taking short flights. And then over time, that this repeated exposure helps to desensitize the individual to their fear and allows them to feel more comfortable and in control when faced with the real thing.
Wow, that's super interesting. So it's like building up our tolerance to fear one step at a time. Are there any other techniques or approaches that psychologists use to help people manage their fears, or any other approaches you've learned throughout your courses?
Absolutely. So there are mindfulness-based practices such as meditation, deep breathing exercises. Those can be incredibly effective in reducing anxiety and like making you relax. These techniques help individuals to like cultivate a sense of calmness and presence, making it easier to cope with their fear-inducing situations. Additionally, some therapists may like incorporate techniques from acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT, which focuses on accepting our thoughts and feelings rather than trying to control or avoid them. By learning to tolerate discomfort and take meaningful action with our values, we can gradually reduce the impact of fear on our lives.
Wow, it's amazing how many tools are available to help us navigate our fears. Thank you for sharing those insights. Do you have any thoughts or advice for our listeners?
Yeah, so I would just encourage anyone out there who's struggling with fear or anxiety to reach out for support. You don't have to go through it alone, whether it's talking to a therapist, joining a support group, or simply just confiding in a trusted like friend or family member. There are people out there who care and want to help you overcome your fears. And remember, facing your fears may be challenging, but the rewards are often like well worth the effort. You have the strength and resilience to overcome anything that stands in your way.
That's a powerful message. Thanks for sharing that. I also wanted to ask, have you applied any of these concepts into your daily life, or are there any fears that you had in your personal life that you had to overcome, and did you use any of these concepts? What's your personal experience with fear?
Yeah, I have. In fact, I can share a personal experience where these strategies really came into play for me. So back in high school, I was passionate about lacrosse and dreamed of playing at the college level ever since I was a little girl. However, the college recruiting process was incredibly difficult for me. I faced fears of rejection, failure, and not being good enough to compete at that level.
That sounds like a tough situation to navigate. So how did you deal with those fears?
It wasn't easy, that's for sure, but I knew that if I let the fear hold me back, I'd never achieve my future aspirations and goals. So I decided to apply to some of the techniques we've been talking about. I worked with a mentor to challenge my negative thoughts and beliefs about the recruiting process. And instead of focusing on the possibility of rejection, I shifted my mindset to focus on the opportunities and experiences that awaited me.
That's a great example of using the cognitive reframing to overcome fear. So what happened next in your process?
Okay, so I basically pushed myself to step out of my comfort zone and put myself out there. I attended a ton of college showcases, a ton of tournaments. I reached out to coaches and ultimately earned a spot on the Dominican University women's college lacrosse team. It was a challenging journey filled with ups and downs, but facing my fears head on and staying committed to my goals ultimately paid off.
That's really inspiring. It just goes to show that the power of facing our fears and taking action on them hold. So thank you for sharing that personal story with us. It really drives home the importance of applying the psychological principles and in real life situations and all the concepts you mentioned.
Yeah, of course. I hope my experience can serve as a reminder to others that fear doesn't have to hold us back from pursuing our dreams. With the right mindset and strategies, we can overcome any obstacle that stands in our way.
Yeah, wise words indeed. Of course we can. Thank you once again for your openness and insights. And to our listeners, remember that you have the strength within yourself to face your fears and achieve your goals. All right. Let's dive a bit deeper into the concept of facing fears and achieving goals. Can you tell us more about your experience as a college athlete once you got here? What were some of the challenges you faced and how did you overcome them?
Being a college athlete has been an incredible experience so far, but it definitely comes with its fair share of challenges. Each day at practice, it's a challenge. Balancing my academics and my athletics is also really tough, especially during our main season in the spring. When we have rigorous training schedules and travel schedules, there were times when I felt overwhelmed and doubted whether I could keep up with the demands of being a student athlete and being a good teammate.
That sounds like a lot to juggle, and I definitely understand because for me, it is a lot to juggle too. How did you manage to stay focused, or how do you continue to manage to stay focused and motivated during those times, especially during the spring when you're in season?
One thing that really helps me is setting clear goals and priorities. I know that my education is important to me, so I make sure to prioritize my studies and do my best to stay organized with my assignments and deadlines, but I also lean on my teammates and coaches for support as we're all going through the same thing right now, knowing that we're all in it together and we each rely on each other for encouragement and guidance.
That's awesome. It's amazing to see and even experience myself and with you how teamwork and goal setting can help us navigate even the biggest and toughest challenges. For you, were there any specific strategies or techniques that you found particularly helpful in managing stress and being able to stay mentally resilient during your athletic journey on the field, off the field, and more?
Definitely. So visualization and mindfulness techniques are incredibly helpful for me staying grounded and focused, especially before big games or exams. Taking a few minutes to practice deep breathing or visualization exercises helps to calm my nerves and boost my confidence. I also made sure to prioritize self-care and relaxation as much time as I spend off the field. I spend on the field working and off the field relaxing and taking care of myself. Whether it was getting enough sleep, like eating healthy meals, or taking some time to unwind with friends and my hobbies outside of sports.
That's fantastic advice, Sid. It's truly remarkable how simple yet powerful techniques like mindfulness and visualization can make such a significant difference in managing stress and maintaining focus. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that these practices aren't just reserved for athletes or high-pressure situations. They can be applied to all aspects of life. Incorporating mindfulness into our daily routines can help us cultivate a greater sense of awareness and presence, allowing us to navigate life's challenges with more clarity and composure. And visualization isn't just about imagining success. It's about creating a mental blueprint for achieving our goals and overcoming obstacles along the way. Sid and I both do this throughout our lacrosse season and even through a coach at Dominican, Fred. Prioritizing self-care is also another crucial aspect of maintaining mental and emotional well-being. Whether it's getting enough sleep, nourishing our bodies with healthy food, or making time for activities that bring us joy and relaxation, taking care of ourselves is essential for managing stress and building resilience. So to the listeners out there, I really want to encourage you to explore these techniques and find what works best for you. Whether it's through mindfulness, meditation, visualization exercises, or simply making time for self-care activities, investing in your mental health and emotional health is one of the best decisions you can make for yourself. Even as Sid said, these practices really helped her throughout her journey. So I think it's really important that we implement them in our journeys as well. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, Sid, or any words of encouragement?
I just want to encourage everyone out there to embrace their fears and pursue their passions with courage and determination. Whether it's chasing your dreams, overcoming obstacles, or simply facing the unknown of each day, remember that you are capable of achieving anything that you set your mind to. Don't be afraid to seek support from your friends, family, or professionals if you need it. We're all in this together, and together we can conquer our fears and reach new heights of success and fulfillment.
Well said. Thank you so much for your advice and coming out today and sharing your experiences and the insights that you had with us. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Remember to stay brave, stay resilient, and keep striving for greatness. I hope you take all the concepts you learned from this episode and the previous episodes and apply it to your daily lives and really grasp that fear is something that you can control as long as you put it in your own hands. Until next time, take care and keep exploring the depths of the human experience. Don't forget, stay fearless.